Welcome, everyone, to this Webster Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is Processing Segmented Messages and Data Power Using Webster MQ V7.5. The presenters today are Chin Shahu and Aviston Harris. Chin is an advisory software engineer and works in data power appliance and API management product support for more than 5 years. He collaborates with the SQA team to review test case and develops test plans for product integration issues with MQ, JMS, WMB. He also participates in IBM-sponsored data power forums and social media. He is the pod lead for MQ component that involves data power integration issues with MQ, JMS, WSRR, and B2B. Aviston is a level 2 software engineer for IBM Data Power. He is in his third year of providing support for IBM Data Power, specializing in the MQ and NT support pod group. He receives customer-related issues and debugs these to provide customers with solutions. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Chin.
Thank you, Kathy. Today's topic, as Kathy mentioned, is processing segmented messages in data power using MQ V7. And, we'll cover the V7.5 part also a little bit, but V7 is the theme. So please go to the next slide. Today's agenda will cover the following topics. We'll discuss a little bit on the MQ file transfer edition, and then after that we'll discuss a little bit on the MQFT components, and also present the overview of the MQ segmented messages. After that, I think Aviston will discuss the data power service configurations. And once that is covered, then I will cover the demonstration of message flow. And later on, Aviston will cover the troubleshooting techniques. And lastly, the useful links will be given, and the Q&A part will follow. Go to slide number 3, please. The MQFTE, which was released in V7 platform called MQ File Transfer Edition, and that is integrated in 7.5, which is called the Managed File Transfer. So basically the product was used as a separate component in the V7, but in V7.5 the product was integrated. Therefore, once you install V7.5, the MQFTE is included, but in V7.01 or 7.1, MQFTE was a separate component. That's what I think you need to add that. So we basically define the MQFTE for both scenario. So the presentation will cover the scenario for MQ V7 and V7.5. As you see, the MQFTE basically transfer files between systems in a managed and auditable way, regardless of file size or the operating system. So you can have a file in the Linux system, and then you can transfer to a AX or Windows or some other system using the MQFTE. Compared to FTP, MQFTE has the following advantages. As you see, MQFTE is reliable because you can track the transfer flow. And it also provides secure communication, and the entire processing can be automated, and it can be visible in a sense that you can see the transfer logs and the transfer file information that goes from agent to agent. And it is also flexible and integrated so that you can run everything in one particular platform. Go to slide number 4, please. Here are some of the you know, additional benefits of MQFTE versus FTP, as you can see, you know, it has got the similar characteristics along with the scripting and also the multi-instance failover capability, because the MQ has the multi-instance failover. So that also take advantage of this particular feature. So go to slide number 5, please. Here we are trying to describe the MQFTE components. It has got these 4 distinct components, one called the agent, which basically process the transfer of messages and files from one agent to another agent. So the first agent we call the source agent, and then the destination agent. So a file from the source can be transferred to the destination agent. So it has got 2 agents involved, and that's what we call the agent is a process which runs on the same queue manager. Then we have the agent queue manager. The agent queue manager is the one which hosts all agent queues. So when you put a message to a queue, that message is tracked by the agent, and then based on the configuration, that file can be transferred to another queue residing in another agent. So that is what we did, destination agent. Then we have the coordination queue manager, which usually broadcasts the auditing and logging of the file transfer events. And this is the central location where it coordinates between the agent queue manager, the command queue manager, and all the activities that goes in the flow. And then finally, we have the command queue manager, which allows you to invoke the commands that when you create these MQFT commands, like the file transfer or creating a monitor or creating, you know, some of the commands. So those commands are being executed by the command queue manager, and then that is communicated to agent queue manager or coordination queue manager. These 3 queue managers can be separate. They can be a single queue manager, or you can take agent queue manager and coordination queue manager as one and command queue manager as second. So this combination is possible, but I think, you know, it all depends on your environment. So they can be together or they can be separate. Goes to slide number 6, please. Yeah, the slide 6 presents the overview of the MQFT components. What it says here is that you have one agent, which may be considered as a source agent. The other agent may be considered as a destination agent. And they are running on the agent queue manager. Then you have the command queue manager and coordination queue manager. They're all together running in the MQ network. So the command queue manager usually, you know, submit the commands that you invoke. The coordination queue manager logs and coordinate all the activities between the queue managers. So in a nutshell, that is what it shows the MQFT component in the MQ network. So go to the slide number 7, please. This is an example where you can see that there is a agent queue manager which is running in the MQ Explorer tool, and that shows that there are 2 agents, agent 1 and agent 2, they are running in that particular queue manager. So in our example, I'm using the queue manager named QM_Linux. That queue manager is hosting both the agent queue manager as well as the coordination queue manager and the command queue manager. So the 3 functions are all combined into the queue manager. So when you create these queue managers, there are options whether you can use separate or a single or, you know, different combinations. So go to number 8, please, slide number 8. Now we are going to talk a little bit of the segmented message. Segmented message is necessary when a message is too large for a queue or a queue manager. And that time, the application can make the segmentation or the queue manager can make the segmentation. But in this case, what we are talking here is the application making the segmentation. Therefore, those messages, when you have a need that you want to process very large message from one point, to send that message to another point and the queue manager is not able to handle, that time the application can segment these messages to put that to the queue. The segmented messages are identified by group ID and message sequence number. And the message sequence number starts at 1 for the first message within a group, and then it goes increments like 2 or 3 likewise, so within that group, and that gives you the sequence number, or we call the logical number. If it is not in a group, the value of the field, the message sequence number, is 1. So if you look at this example, here is your group. You have a logical message 1, logical message 2, and logical message 3. Now we're going to talk about a little bit on the logical message side. So if you go to the next slide, number 9. The logical messages are used to ensure ordering. Applications allow them to group together these similar messages, and each message in the group is a physical message unless it is split into segments. We'll show you that how these logical messages are also grouped in terms of the segments. The message is logically separate message, and only the group ID and the message sequence number field in the MQMD bear any relation to other message in the group. So if you have segmented messages, so those messages are related by the group ID and message sequence number field. There are other fields which are independent. They can be different. For example, messages in a group can have different format or CCSID or encoding, etc. So we'll talk a little bit now on the segmented side of the example. Number 10, slide number 10, please. Here we are talking about the segmented message where its logical message is basically split into two segments because it cannot fit into the memory. And that is where the segments part comes. The only difference here is the offset field. In the MQMD, there is an offset field. The offset field starts with a 0 for the first segment. Then it will continue to the other number, whatever the next number in the segment. And a segment is logically part of a single message. The only message ID, offset, and segment flag fields in the MQMD should differ between separate segments of the same message. Here is an example of here is a group message. We have 3 logical messages, and the logical message 1 has segment 1 and segment 2. So logical message 2 doesn't have any segment, and logical message 3 has segment 1, 2, 3. So these messages are identified by the group ID, message sequence number, and the offset field. But as I said, if they are not segmented but they are still logically split, then the offset field will be value 0. Otherwise, it will start from 0 and then span to the segment size number, then it will follow further. So likewise, the segment messages are identified. So number, slide number 11, please. Here is just a sample segment and message where you can see that the flag is saying message in group and the group identifier number and the logical sequence number as 1 and the offset is 0. The second message says message in group with the group ID and the logical sequence number as 2, and because it's not segmented, it's considered to be offset 0. The last one is says message in group. Last message in the group is the flag, and the logical sequence number 3 with the same group ID and the offset is 0. So this gives you an example how a message is segmented into 3 separate messages with their appropriate group ID and message sequence number. So go to the slide number 12, please. Now we are going to talk of the configuration components of the data power service. So I will pass I'll pass it to Aviston, so he's going to talk about this.
All right. Thanks, Jan. Good morning. As Jan said, I'll go over some of the basic setups that we're doing according to the demo that we have for you a little later. Excuse me. So in this, if you can go to slide 13. So we're just going to cover creation of a multi-protocol gateway service, the front-side handler, MQ front-side handler, and MQFTE front-side handler. And then we're going to have to create the MQQM object. There's a typo there. It should be MQQM object, and then the associated parameters for that. And then the policy style and the rules. And next we'll go to the backside URL used in the multi-protocol gateway, and maybe some additional attributes for the multi-protocol gateway. If you can go to slide 14. And then here we're going to cover a little more on the multi-protocol gateway and some things you can configure there. And I'll go into a little detail in that. If you can go to slide 15. And here, this is just a screenshot of our demo, the multi-protocol gateway that we're going to be using in our demo. And then there's those stars are some attributes that are needed that you have to fill in order for the multi-protocol gateway to go into upstate. Until you do that, it will stay in a down state. And then, you know, you can proceed once you have everything up. Next slide, 16. Just some best practices things that we have. On the multi-protocol gateway, we recommend that you have the propagate set to off. When you're using MQ as your back end, you need to have this set off. When it's set to an on position, the URI on the back end URL, the URI of the client request will be used instead of the back end URL that's specified on your multi-protocol gateway. Next slide, number 17. And then here, highlighted in the advanced tab, we recommend that you have process backend error set to on, and this is set up by default. What this does is if the service will ignore the error condition that it may incur and process, it'll continue to process the response rule. If successful, it will return a successful response to the client. So that's why we have that set to an on position. And then there's some other settings in here, like the front side and back side timeout. It's always important to have a greater front side, greater than or equal to front side timeout to a back end timeout. Just in case if there's some issues with the back end, maybe taking a little longer than expected, and if your front side timeout is shorter, you can have some network connectivity issues. Sometimes you'll see that the front side will reset the connection if the response isn't received in time. So that's one best practice that we recommend also. Next slide, 18. And here, this is a configuration for a MQ front-side handler. So in this case, I believe in our demo, we're using MQFTE and MQ front-side handler. And within this setup, you're going to need to have a queue manager, which I'll show you in the QM object configuration. And then the get queue, which is what we're using in this demo. We don't have a put queue here, but you do have the option to use a put queue if you're getting messages and waiting for replies on the put queue. So the MQFTE front-side handler is nearly identical. The only difference is here, or one of the differences here, is that there is a put queue available on the MQ front-side handler. excuse me. Next slide, number 19. Okay, and then this here is a MQFTE front-side handler. As you can see, you need the same basic items here filled in with the queue manager and then the get queue that you'll do your MQ get from on the queue server. And next slide, number 20. And this here is the MQQM object. So in the general configuration here, you have to set up your host and then the queue manager name on the MQ server, your channel, and then the channel heartbeat and username, et cetera. So one important thing about the setting in MQQM configuration along with using MQ front-side handler and MQFTE is the maximum message size. So here we have a maximum message size set in conditions where the value of the max message size is greater. If there's a message that's greater than what's configured here, you'll run into an error, a reason code 2010 or 2010. And this just basically says that the max message size had been exceeded. In conjunction with that error, you may see that the MQ front-side handler or MQFTE front-side handler may go into a down state until that max message size is fixed there. You'll see it in the down state. One thing that we do recommend is for a cache timeout to be set. In our demo here, we have it set to 60 seconds. The cache timeout should be set because data power uses connection pooling, and so with the cache timeout set along with the keep alive interval set on the MQQ server, QM server, which is set at the kernel level, when connections become stale or idle, they'll return the inactive connections once that cache timeout has been reached, this threshold has been reached. So you can return those connections back to the connection pool. And then, this is good to keep down, memory and CPU usage, any other resources that may be used with an open connection. So this will return those stale connections back to the pool. Another highlighted configuration MQQM here is units of work. And I'll go into a little detail with that with using transactional true within your MQ, DPMQ URL for your backend. So units of work, when set to 1, data power doesn't remove the message. It gets from the queue until the transaction is complete. So example, placing a message on the server queue, if that transaction fails, the message is left on queue. Then data power will attempt to get the message again and process it. So the next step here, automatic backout, when that's set to own, what this means is that we'll back out a poison message or a message that the receiving application doesn't know how to process. If the application rolls back the get of this message, it leaves the message on the input queue, and the backout count is incremented. So here we have it set to 1. And it starts at 0, and then that's the first try, and then we'll go 1. And once another try 1 happens, and once another retry happens, which will be 2, that'll max out the backout threshold. So if the MQQM object continues to reject this message, the count increases until the backout threshold is exceeded. Once exceeded, the message is placed into the backout queue, which is highlighted there at the bottom. Next slide, 21. Okay, and then here, this is kind of a description of the connection. So we'll have the total connection limit. The initial connections when the connection is established with the MQQM server, and then the retry behavior. So this is the retry interval. It'll try, every 10 seconds to create a connection with the MQQ manager server, and it'll retry this up to 6 attempts. And once this has been reached, then we proceed to the long retry interval, which we have set to 600 seconds. And what we recommend that you do not set the retry attempts to 0, because what that means is then it'll never try the long retry, and it'll retry indefinitely every 10 seconds. So you may see in your logs if your MQ server backend is down or having some issues with connectivity, you'll see in the logs that this tries to connect every 10 seconds, and it'll flood the logs with these messages of unable to connect, which is a 2059, reason code 2059. And then this could lead to, resources that may be, cause some issues, depleted, maybe memory issues or CPU problems there. So we do recommend that you set a retry attempt, and those intervals according to your preference. Next slide, 22. And then here we just have a basic policy here, style policy, and a basic rule. So in our demo, we're just doing a request to the client, client to the server. And we just have a basic match all. But, there's tons of different rules you can specify here according to how you want it to flow. You can add an error rule. You can add different variations of rules here to the client, server to client or client to server, et cetera. But in this demo, we're just doing a basic configuration here. Slide number 23. Okay, and here, this is our backend URL. So we have MQ and MQFTE backend URLs here. And as I mentioned earlier, with transactional set to true, you want to have units of work enabled on your MQQM. So the DPMQFTE URL, if it doesn't consider the message successfully posted until it receives a response, a commit or a rollback, if you have this set to true, as I mentioned, you should have the units of work enabled on MQQM. With that backout flag set to on to use the backout threshold. Once that's been reached, then that poison message will be sent to the backout queue. And then to describe a little bit of what we see here with the request queue, that's just going to be where Data Power puts the message. The destination agent specifies the destination agent that receives the message. And then destination, or DESQM, this is just the destination queue manager where the source agent sends a message. And then you'll see within MQFT URL destination or DES file equals test 2. And this specifies the name of the file where the destination agent stores and receives messages. And then we have, you know, a few variations of the backend URL. With FTE, you won't see a reply queue there, but, you know, you'll see the request queue. And then with the DPMQ or URL, then you can have the transactional tag used with units of work, as mentioned. And then we have an example here that doesn't have the transactional tag set. Next slide, please, 24. Okay, and I think this leads into our demo with Chin.
Thank you, Edison. So we're going to give us a little background of the message flow. So if you go to slide number 25, I just want to give some requirements here. As I think we already know that when you are dealing with a large message size, there are some requirements in the data bar side as well as the queue manager side to be configured. On the queue manager side, you must need to configure the queue manager, the channel, and the queue so that whatever message that you are going to process, the max message L attribute has to be set to that value. So if you are thinking of, say, 100 meg, so that means your queue manager, the corresponding channel, and the queue, they have to be set. The max message L attribute has to set to that value. Similarly, there are data par side requirements where the maximum message size of the MQQM object has to be set to that value, and the associated XML manager, the XML byte scan attribute should also have that value. The data par default is 1 meg, and the XML manager's XML byte scan is 4 meg. So if you want to process larger file, these two attributes in the data par side has to be changed to match the estimated message size that you are going to process. And similarly, the queue manager and channel and the queue max message length has to be adjusted. So now we are going to talk a little bit on the message flow. So slide number 16, please. No, 26, please. This is scenario number one. So in this particular scenario, we have a large message coming to data power, and data power is going to send multiple segmented messages to the backend queue. So in that case, we'll have the requirements like you have to have a front-side handler. In this case, we are talking about, say, MQ or HTTP or SFTP. Any front-side handler can get that message to the data per application. And then you will use a MQFTE URL for the backend, which will do the segmentation for you. Now, the third part is that the MQ object the maximum message size has to be defined. In this case, suppose you are doing MQ to MQFTE, so the queue manager that you are configuring to receive the message may have a bigger maximum message size, but the queue manager object that you are going to use for MQFTE will have a smaller message size. So therefore, when the data par will get the bigger message, then the MQFT backend URL will split the message based on its maximum message size value. So we'll show you how we have two queue manager objects. One has 100 meg size. The other one has 900,000 bytes. So when we get a bigger file in the front, our data par can split that file into several segmented messages. So that is the scenario number one. that is basically a message coming as a big message and segmented to the back end. Slide number 27, please. This is a scenario number two, where you have multiple segmented messages in the queue. You want to process all the multiple, you know, all the messages as a single message. So you have a front set handler which will be using MQFTE, and once the messages are received by MQFTE, it will assemble those messages in data path and will forward that message to a back end. So in this case, we'll use a queue where you'll have one queue with a segmented message. The destination queue will be another queue where it will have a single message. So that is the second scenario. We'll show you how you can process these messages. And the third scenario, go to the 28th, slide number 28. So the third scenario is mainly you have multiple segmented messages and you want to send that message to a file system. So this can be done two ways. You can do through data power that MQFTE will receive the message. I'm sorry, the MQ will receive the message and it will send the backend by MQFTE based on those maximum message size. Datapar will create the segmented message. Once the messages are put there, the MQFTE monitor can be configured or can be used to take those messages and put that into a file system. So those are the three scenarios that we are going to show you as part of the data power service configuration. So go to the slide number 29. Yeah, these are some of the FTE create transfer file commands that I just wanted to show you, that, you know, how you can create MQFTE transfer. Suppose you want to put a message with segmented messages in the queue. These are some of the commands that says you have to use the create transfer with the source agent, destination agent, queue manager, and the queue name. Then there are certain parameters like, you know, queue put. These are some of the additional parameters, like if your queue partition to true and the message property true, the message header. These are some of the things that you have to define. And then here it says queue size, which means that whatever message you are receiving, it will basically split it based on the size. And once the file is created, then it will delete it. So this is just a transfer, MQFTE transfer command. And that gives you some parameters to split a single message to multiple messages to the queue. Go to the slide number 30. Here is the monitor, the MQFT monitor, which will monitor the queue so that once the monitor comes in, I mean the messages that comes in, it will try to send that message to a file. So here it says create monitor. The monitor agent name is agent one, the queue name is this, and the name, you know, just to give a name for this monitor is queue to file monitor. And this is the transfer file definition, which is the one it is defined here. And the TR flag says it should use the complete groups. And then PU and PI basically says that you have to look for how often, how many interval that you will use. So it's 3 minutes, and you will monitor the queue within three minutes every time. So I'm going to show you that the task definition file, which is used to transfer the file from queue to file. Go to the slide number 31. So this is the task definition file where it is using certain variables from the message header and using those headers to route the message to the file. So here it is using this particular queue called Q1, WST.2014.Q1, and that is what it is monitoring. And it is using certain destination variables, you know, the DP, NQFT, destination queue manager, and then the destination file name. Now, I also added a little logic here that if the file exists, then it will create a file with the name, adding the current timestamp so that it will not overwrite the previous file. So that simply gives you an idea that if you have segmented messages in the queue, this particular monitor can be invoked so that the queue can be monitored by the MQFTE and will get the message from this particular queue and will route that, you know, the segmented message as a single message to this particular destination which is defined in your MD header. So that is basically the task destination. So the data power will use, you know, certain fields, and those fields are transferred in the header, and this task definition file is geared to solve that, those variables to, you know, send the message to a file. So now we are going to show the real demo. So this is a multi-protocol gateway service that I'll use to send a message in to a queue, and that particular queue will be processed by data power front side handler, and then it will process that message to another queue which will give us the segmented message. So here, as I said, we have shown you this is the same policy, but I just added a style sheet here so that I can use two different URLs. So I'm going to show you this style sheet. All it does that if it uses Q10, if it uses Q10, it will use the WSTE 2014 Q1. That is where it is going to send. And the file destination gives you this path, the entire path. But in this case, we are not concerned about the path because we are going to go from queue to queue. So the first queue will be Q10, which will get the big message, and the final queue, which will be the WSTE2014.Q1, that will receive the message with multiple segmented messages in there. So that is the one, I think, and then the other one I'll show you that it will go to the this particular queue called WSTE2014.Q5, which will be the last one, the third scenario. So in this case, we have this scenario, and here I will show you, I'm sorry, this 10. This is the one, it's using 10, and using the big message queue manager. So the big queue manager, if you look at, that has a bigger message size. This one. So it will get a bigger message. Of course, we will not use 100 megabytes longer, but we will use a bigger message. And that size, it will come to this queue, and then it will go. Now, if you look at the other queue manager, we have two queue managers. Want to show you that. So this is the queue manager which is being used for the back end, and it has the maximum message size is 900,000. So now I have a file which I can just show you. This file, it's a big one .xml. It is about 2.5 meg, this size. So I'm going to take that file, send it to the Q10. This is a tool that I'm using to send a file. So this is the Q10. I'm using that file. So this file I'm going to put. So if I put this file, the file is gone. So let me see if we have any message here. Okay, so we have three messages there. So remember that we said that the message will come from Q10, then it will be processed by data power, and it will create the segmented message. So now if I browse this message, you can see there are three messages, and the total length starts with 900,000 bytes, and the last message has the rest of the bytes, whatever, you know, was the last one. Then we have this flag, says message in group, the last message in the group. And those group ID, you can see that they have all the same group ID, and the logical sequence number is 1, 2, 3. So that means that one single message we sent to the data power, and that message was now segmented to 3. Now the offset value saying 0 because they are not segmented further. So once we saw that the first scenario where one big message sending to data power, the data power application is now segmenting this to 3 messages. That is a simple way that data power can do it. Now the second scenario, as I said, I have to use the same 3 messages and try to send it to a different queue so that we can see if the 3 messages are combined to a single message. So I have a different service. Here it says MQ group message. Now this particular scenario, I'm using the queue called wste.2014.q2. Now, if you look at here, this particular one is using a MQFTE front-side handler. I deliberately, you know, disabled it so that I can show you. So it is going to get the message from the Q1. The wste.2014.q1, which we have created, that message that we just created for the scenario 1, we are going to use that, and then we are going to see if that is going to process as a single message. Now, if I look here, I do not have any message in here. I have 3 messages here. So now, I'm going to enable this. So that way the messages will be processed. So if I enable and save, this is up, and so we can see if the message is processed or not. So now these 3 messages are gone, and we have this message, which is a single message, and I can browse that message to see if this message is a single one, you know, it is intact or it is still segmented. Here you have the total length. The lengths sometimes don't match because when you write data power, maybe certain spaces and things are being taken care of, but the contents are all intact. So this is the total length and this is the size, and if you look at the logical number, here it says flag is message in group, but there is no other messages, just the one message, the logical sequence number 1. And that's what I think the message is being processed as a single message. And this message can be processed by any other application as a complete message. So that shows that within data power, you can segment message. You can also read segmented message to a single message. Now we have to see how we can take the third scenario where we can provide the same message to a different queue, and the monitor can be used to convert that message to a file system. So in my configuration, I have got two queues. Q10 will send it to WSTE.2014.Q1. Q11 will send to WSTE.2014.Q5. That's what I just want to show you. So this particular service, so it is just creating the messages. So this particular service, which I showed you, had got 10 and 11. But in the style sheet, I created that says that if 10, you use this particular destination queue. If it is 11, use a different destination queue. So now if I send that same message, it will come to this particular queue here. This is the message where I'm going to show you that in this case, I'm using the message from Q5. Now, when I'm sending, I'm also creating this. This particular scenario, I'm directly sending the message to a SFTP server right here. You know, the two ways I said that you can send the message, the file directly from data path to a SFTP server, or you can send the message to a queue, and then the monitor can be configured to monitor the queue, and then monitor can be also create the same message to a file system. In my example, I just wanted to show you so that the message coming from DataPar queue, and DataPar is sending back to a SFTP server. This is where the server is. And it basically gets the file name, and then it appends the file name to a particular directory structure that I define called opt/FTE/WSTE2014/test1. So before I start this test, I want to show you that there is no file. So, okay. If you all look here, this is the directory structure that I have here. There is no file here. So now, if I use my tool, and I'm going to use the 11 advanced port, and I'm going to use the same file, so now it is the big file. So if I put it there, so the file should come to here. Okay, so now the file is gone. So let's see if the file is received here. Oh, not this one. Okay, where did I set that? Okay, here. Now we can see that particular file which came from the DataPar front side handler, the multiple segmented messages came to the DataPar, and then it was routed to this particular SFTP server. So now if we can see the combined file, this is just an XML file. It starts with this XML, and then if you see that on the end, this is a complete XML file. So what it shows that you can process these type of messages directly to FTP, I mean SFTP server, or you can use the monitor, which we can show you, but I think at the time it may be little difficult to show that part at this time because of the time limit. But it is possible that MQFT agent will also do the same way if you can take those configurations that we have described here. So at this time, I'm going to pass my control to Aviston, so that way Aviston can talk a little bit on the troubleshooting.
Thanks, Chair. Okay, this is just a little quick overview of some troubleshooting. Just in case you run into some problems during, you know, the setup of this or using your services with DataPower. So basically, with any you know, issue that you have, a good debug level log will be good to start troubleshooting. I know that in production, debug isn't a good case to use, you know, because of the overhead that it has at times, because it does collect a fair amount of information. if that isn't possible, we do recommend using log targets, which I'll go into a little later. But a debug level log when generating an error report is really great to have because it gives us good detail when debugging these issues. Enabling probe, that's an invaluable tool used, you know, during development phase of service applications. And the probing does have overhead just as much as keeping debug logging enabled. So we recommend that only when you are in that phase of development and you know, it does give an in-depth detail of processing steps and processing rules, and you know, it just gives a more detailed display of different types of content. Excuse me. Then next, enabling the packet capture for MQ connection errors. That's really key whenever we have reason code 2009s if the connection is broken, or reason code 2059s when we can't connect to the queue manager, you know, anything like that is really helpful in having a packet capture to be able to correlate with a error report or debug level log. Is always great to have. And then I mentioned a custom log target. Within those debug logs, there are event codes that are presented with a certain type of error. So we can use those event codes to actually track any events, particular events. If you want to, you know, just want, if you're concerned with one detailed error, then we can single it out to a detailed, you know, that error or the actual service or, you know, things like that. So if there's a packet capture that needs to be taken at the same time that this error happens, you can enable an event trigger, which I use a lot with a lot of my issues now, where if there's a intermittent problem and you're not able to easily recreate it, we can use these event triggers along with some CLI commands to actually you know, start a PCAP manually, and then you can just set it and leave it and kind of forget it. And once you've set it, once a problem or the error passes through the log with that event trigger, the log target will stop the PCAP, and we can generate an error report automatically, so we know exactly that we are able to get that information based on the event trigger that you encountered. As I mentioned earlier, with using MQ, Frontside Handler, MQ FTE Frontside Handler, the reason code 2010 may be seen, you know, maybe every once in a while, but it's pretty easy to fix this issue if that message size is exceeded. So that's one thing that we see in these type of setups, and that's a quick fix. You can go to the next slide, 33. This is the troubleshooting panel, and you know, here is where we will set the log level, and then you know, you can set the probing, and you can select the gateway, and you can add or take away as much detail as you want. So within that log level, you'll see error, info, debug, and some other different levels of logging there. And then I don't know if we took a picture of that, but below that you may see the generate error report tag there, and then that's where we would create the error report that you can download and send in to us, or you can review yourselves to see if there's the error that happened during the time that you may have experienced some problem with the service. Next slide, 34. And then here, a PCAP. You can set a PCAP here through the web GUI. Usually a lot of times, since DataPower does have multiple interfaces, we do collect from all interfaces, unless you really know which interface is using whatever backend to connect. And a lot of times, if you use like a static route that uses a particular interface to connect to a particular backend, then we can define it by using interface 0, interface 1, 2, 3, 4, and so forth. And within this example, there's a filter in place that will filter on port 1620. So with collecting PCAPs on all interfaces, it does collect all data traffic that's coming through the data power device. So that could be several different IPs, several different protocols on one PCAP, and those can grow pretty large. So if you have a lot of data passing through and you want to single out a certain port, a certain backend, you can filter expression on port, host name, a combination of both. And it's pretty much a large amount of different ways you can filter these PCAPs to really define what you're trying to collect. Next slide, please. 35. And then here, as mentioned, the log target. And I'm a big fan of using log targets because you can get exactly that error that you're looking for. If you have a good debug log, then you can find that event trigger within there, or event code within there, and you can set this, in the event triggers tab. And then, here you can either specify file name to be saved on data power device, or you can have this sent to an off logging device or area that you have, and then you can set the log size, the number of rotations that you would like, and so forth. So this is a really good area, a really good tool to use if you really want to, catch something over the weekend that you may not have, time to sit there and filter and wait for the issue to happen. So this can help you out a great deal. Next slide, 36. Okay, and then here's just additional information, different options we have here whenever setting a custom log target. So with that event subscriptions, you can, as I said earlier, you can subscribe to different events, whether it's management, network, MQ. With issues like this, we usually say, we would like to gather information on the management category, MQ, and network. It's because they all go with each other. There's a lot of issues where we see network problems with MQ and, so forth with services used and maybe, processing and things like that. So this is a good area to sign up, different subscriptions to different events so that we can collect data based on that only. Slide 37. And then here are some good links. We have the Data Power Forum, which I think Chen is pretty active on, and a lot of our other members are active on here. So it's visited fairly often, and I use it myself to do some searching and research on various issues I've had. So that's a good place to look, along with the Data Power Facebook community. in data for our Facebook community. There's, you know, some good threads in there also. Next slide, 38. Okay, and then this is just some more information, a Development Works article here, speaking on MQFTE. And then, you know, we have MQ, multi-protocol gateway, data power multi-protocol gateway, and MQFTE transfer techno here. And then a link to the Data Power Info Center, which has a vast amount of information as far as, you know, explaining what different variables mean, parameters, et cetera. So you can take a look at those things if you, you know, want to look more into some of the things of why, you know, what they do and kind of the short names and what they mean, things like that. Next slide, 39. And then here is just some more additional information on MQFTE. And then one of our important ones is the firmware and documentation site here, which you know, we'll give you a view of our latest firmwares, and then we'll have kind of a you know, a detailed list of what's been fixed and what's been included in these fix packs that we release, and then some things that may have been implemented in new versions, release of Data Power. So these are all good areas to visit for more information. Slide 40. And I think that concludes our presentation.
Well, thank you, Aviston and Chen, for a great presentation. Then we will go on to the questions that are in the group chat. How about WMQ version 8? Does it allow segment messages, message groups? Are there major changes in the WMQ version 8 for message grouping?
Yeah, let me take that. I think there is no difference in the message grouping. But, you know, what we are talking here, that how Data Power is segmenting messages. So this is an application segmentation. But if you are thinking of queue manager segmentation, then that probably will be relevant to the queue manager. And I'm not sure whether MQ version 8 has any difference. But this presentation was based on the MQ version 7. Maybe we can talk to the MQ support and find out a little more on this. But I think the focus was how can data application can segment messages or can process segmented messages, and that is what I think we presented.
Next question is it correct that XML manager needs to have the same or bigger max message size in the MQ-QM object?
Yeah, I think the answer is yes. So it has to be, as I said in the presentation, if you are doing, you know, processing large message size, then the MQ-QM object attribute called maximum message size, as well as the XML manager's XML byte scan attribute, they have to be adjusted to the same size. So that way, it will process the message.
The next question is something that I can ask. Will the session be recorded and uploaded? And the question is yes. In a day or two, the recording will be available on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange previous webcast tab. You can also go to www.ibm.com and enter the number 704-2783 in the search box. Next question is, I guess it's a statement, but it says you didn't talk about message options.
Yeah, I think what Jane is asking, that, you know, how do we specify the message option parameters? But in our flow, what we are using is MQFTE to, you know, process the segmented message. And the MQFTE front-side handler has a GMO which allows you to, you know, create that message option values. So if you want to add additional GMO or called get message option or PMO called put message option, those can be specified in the front side handler for GMO or for the PMO for the back end URL. It can be added into those tags. So with the PMO equal to, and it is not the same way that the MQ uses. It will be a decimal number which are derived by taking the GMO and the PMO options value.
Tom, I'm still showing no questions in queue.
Well, at this time, we will conclude the presentation, and we hope that the information presented today has been valuable to you. Thank you, Chin and Avis Stump, for presenting today.